Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio. Bob and Dima, delighted to tell you Kelly's out for a few days. That hurt your feelings, Dima?
Well, I just got back from Augusta.
Hey, glad you're with us. Southern Bancorp studio, that's where we're broadcasting from. Opening segment today, we're going to welcome Movie Star Restaurant to the show. What great people. Lori Ford, her wonderful family. 25 years in business now. Movie Star Restaurant here in Oak Grove, serving delicious country cooking, southern grandma-styled home cooking buffets. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, Saturday night. Friday night, a great time to enjoy a good meal at Movie Star. And then, of course, the famous After Church Sunday Buffet. Movie Star Restaurant, really glad to have them part of the Eagle Hour family. Also glad every Wednesday to bring our good friend Travis Creel, baseball coach, on to the Eagle Hour. Golden Eagles win a close one last night, 3-2 against UNO. Advanced to 24-9 on the year. 10 hits from the Golden Eagles, 7 of those hits from 3 players. Dre Barrett, Seth Smith, Matthew Russo. Coach Creel joins us right now. Coach, give us the 30,000-foot view of the ball game last night.
Yeah, we'll take it. You know, we'd like to score more runs and not to get off to give them a 2-spot in the first. But, you know, after the first, our pitchers really settled in and battled around a lot of traffic. And then, you know, the offense found a way to win late. So proud of the guys.
Yeah, they left 15 people on base last night. So that's a great description. The pitching staff had to navigate through a lot of traffic on the bases. That adds pressure, obviously, to a pitcher, but from a pitching standpoint, the guys really stood the test.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think if you ask Oz, probably a few too many freebies for him. I think it was 10 on the night. But to have 10 freebies and only give up 2 runs is pretty impressive, because that means they kind of bowed their neck and didn't give in crunch time and made some big pitches with traffic on the bases.
Travis, I think the play of the game last night was Seth Smith's bunt in the ninth inning. Just curious, just to know, I mean, was that something that you called? Because I know he showed it on the first pitch and then kind of went out of it and then came back on the third pitch. Just could you talk about that bunt and how important that was? And just wondering, you know, if that was something that you called or that was Seth's call?
Yeah, I put it on. Okay. For a couple of reasons. One, we really haven't made their third baseman make a play all night. And this is only his 7th start of the season, so I really – you know, the pressure of the game was on. I wanted to apply some pressure, and in my mind, worst case scenario, we had a runner at second with Morrison at bat. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of a win-win. Obviously not a great night to hit. Kind of chilly, the wind blowing in. Mm-hmm. I didn't love our chances for Smitty to hit a double there. So, just a great execution. He's bunted the ball well all year. He had one at Norfolk as well. And like you said, that was a huge play in the game. And that pretty much guaranteed that Kamo and Dave would have a chance to win it. Right. And it just so happened that Dave drew the walk and Russo got a chance to win it. So, it was great execution.
I asked Russo this last night and Oz, but does it just feel like that Matthew Russo is just always in that position to walk off a game?
Yeah, it does. And he's got a knack for winning them, too. I think that's 5 career walk-offs, which is crazy.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, obviously, when you hit in the middle of the order, the guys in front of you are going to get on base more than anybody else on the team. So that 5-hole, 4-5-6-hole in college baseball is probably the most important part of the lineup.
Yeah. Matthew Russo did walk it off last night, Coach, but he, you know, we've obviously covered this. He's had some struggles at the plate. He seems to be coming out of that a lot now, though. One thing Matthew has not been able to capture from last year is the number of home runs. Can you put your finger on why a kid, and not just particularly Russo, but a kid can hit a lot of home runs one year, then the expectation is he's automatically going to do that the next year, but that isn't always the case.
Yeah, well, I think it's a couple things. One, you know, he was going good early in the season when the weather wasn't great to hit. And then when the weather got good to hit, he kind of went through his slump. You know, he hit one in Norfolk, should have hit two, but the wind was blowing in that day, crushed one to center field. And then, you know, it's kind of crazy, Bob, and y'all might be shocked to hear this. Me and Coach Rhodes were in the airport on the way back from Norfolk, and Russo only had one more than he does now at this time last year.
Really?
So, yeah, and Monastir had six. So he ended up with 21 at this point.
Wow.
So, you know, the weather gets hot, the ball starts flying, our guys start to see the ball a little bit better later in the year, and, you know, hopefully those home run numbers keep climbing.
Yeah. I hear y'all had plenty of time to talk on the way back from Norfolk, like 3 o'clock in the morning getting home, right? I'm sure you enjoyed that.
Yeah, tough trip, but part of it. Part of it for sure.
Well, we're going to try to raise money in the off season, Travis. We want you guys chartering jets to these long trips starting next year. Is that okay with you?
Well, yeah, you know, Oz has worked really hard on that, and we are chartering to James Madison later in the year. You know, there's just a couple places in our league that are really tough to get to.
Right.
Usually we'll have to go about one of those a year.
So good. This is kind of breaking news. You are going to charter the team to James Madison?
Yes, we are.
Good.
We did put in Kelly's contract, Travis, that he would fund the next few charter planes. So
I don't know if the check
is going to clear or not, but that isn't his contract. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Tucker Stockman and just, you know, he batted really well last year. Like you said, a lot of these guys, you know, when you look at the stats, a lot of them came on towards the end of last year, April and May. But yeah, you're looking a little bit for more from him in that 8-9 hole. I mean, what do you think has been his struggle so far?
Yeah, just kind of in between timing. And, you know, I did think his at-bats in Norfolk were maybe his best since opening weekend. You know, big homer, big single on Saturday. Really had good at-bats and was hoping to carry that over and get some momentum going. Obviously didn't swing the bat fantastic last night. But, man, he's working. He's working his tail off. Baseball's hard. You know, these kids aren't robots. They're humans. And I assure you, he's doing everything he can to succeed. And work and want are not his issues. So good things happen to good people. He's a good person, and he's going to keep battling and grind his way out of this.
Do you think this team, you know, has a lefty problem? I know that's talked about a lot, but, you know, guy last night, almost 11-plus ERA, and he really, you know, controlled most of the game last night.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're not hitting him as good as we'd like, which is kind of weird. Just from, you know, you look at career standpoint, you know, Russo's really handled lefties. Higdon hit over 300 against lefties last year. Morrison's been better than we thought against lefties. He has some ugly moments for sure, but he can also run into one as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm worried. I would say I'm a little surprised to be halfway through the year and you know, our splits being so much better against righties than lefties, but again, believe me, we're attacking it pretty much every day and trying to solve this issue.
All right, Travis, you travel to hostile territory here in a couple of days. It won't be easy down in Lafayette, will it?
No, it will not be. I mean, really talented team, really talented pitching staff. I would imagine a really, really nice atmosphere. And yeah, they don't like us too much down there. So,
not, did you say nice atmosphere, Travis?
I think he was meaning the weather.
I don't think they're going to be nice to you, Coach. I'm just going to tell you now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Do you have a chance before the game to meet with the Danny Lynch fan club down in Lafayette? Is there any chance of that?
You know, I don't know. I'll be on the lookout for them. I don't know if we'll see them or not.
They're small in number. Let me tell you, they're very small in number.
Yeah. It might be the fans that make the trip. That might be it. You know, two lefties in the rotation, projected rotation for Louisiana. But like you said, their starters are really good, Travis, but their bullpen numbers don't appear to be that great. You know, is this another one of those weekends where you're trying to run those starters out and get into that bullpen?
100%. Yeah, 100%. They have one really, really good bullpen weapon. But like you said, the rest statistically are fine, nothing right. crazy. But yeah, their starters, I mean, all of them are going to run out there and throw their 110 pitches. They're not pulling them. So, yeah, 100%. We got to have good at-bats, lengthy at-bats. Don't need to be in a rush to get our at-bats over with. And, you know, I think we've done a good job of that the past couple of weeks is getting starters out of the game by the fifth or sixth inning. I think if we do that, we'll have some success.
All right, Travis, I got one more question I want to ask you before we let you go, but we're up against a break, so can you hang on through a short three-minute break? We got Travis Creel on the phone with us coming off the heels of last night's 3-2 win over UNO, and as we just mentioned, they hit the road now against Louisiana. I don't guess you can say Louisiana Lafayette anymore, but that's how I remember them. I do know this. They're always nasty and tough, Dima. It's not going to be an easy weekend, is it?
I'm sure we get some good food down there.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Well, maybe we ask Travis about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, as we hit the break, I want to remind you that our good friends at Forest Health remind you to keep up with your health now. It's important. Get an annual physical, talk to your doctor, exercise, eat right, do all the things you can do to keep your health as good as it can be. But when you run into problems, man, we're so lucky. We've got Forest Health right here, expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Really proud to have them part of the Eagle Hour family. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Eagle Tire West sponsoring this segment of the show with Travis Creel. And Travis knows the manager out there, Matt Warren, really well. We invite you to go see Matt and his staff for premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. All right, we're going to keep Travis for just a couple more minutes. Well, I lied to you. I said one question, but something came up in the breaks. I got two, and Dima has one. Here's my first question. And I asked the players this when I come out on Mondays, and you're so gracious about setting up interviews for me. And they all give me the same answer, that they try to block out all the noise about top 10 rankings, you know, lofty RPI rankings, all of that stuff. How hard is that to block that out from a coach's standpoint, Coach Creel?
Oh, not very hard, to be honest with you. It is, at the end of the day, well, first off, I don't look at RPI. It gives me anxiety. You can't control it. So just go out there and play winning baseball and let the chips fall where they may. As for, like, the rankings, I mean, at the end of the day, they don't really mean much other than, you know, fan pride and player pride, which is great for, you know, these kids deserve recognition. But, you know, to get where we want to get to, that D1 baseball or perfect game ranking, you know, really doesn't matter too much.
But you're bound to appreciate that. And we had Mark Etheridge from D1 on the show yesterday. And we're talking about, you know, it's time this program gets the national respect that it's been getting this year, because for too many years – I would get frustrated with what I thought was the lack of national respect. But you have to have some pride in the fact that your program is now really considered by guys that cover baseball around the country one of the top 20 programs in America. And they have shown the program a lot of respect this year, right?
I mean, I think, you know, we've been up in the rankings pretty – I think we got to number like 4 and 22 and things like that. But, mm-hmm. yeah, from a preseason standpoint, it seems like we're always left out. I don't know what the case is there. And this year was different. So, you know, I think, like you said, I think the growing respect and you know, what these kids have done on the field and what the previous players have done the past, you know, 7-8 years on the field has kind of earned that respect around the country.
Coach, can you just kind of put your finger on it at all about what's just not worked with Caleb Stelly so far this season?
No, I really can't. We just kind of made some huge mechanical adjustments probably 2 or 3 days ago. You know, he banged his leg kick, and we're going just no stride, trying to simplify for him. You know, I do think there's some lingering stuff with the back surgery he had in the fall, with some stuff in his lower back and his legs. You know, I don't think he's been 100%. He did get kind of checked out, and, you know, I think he got some positive moves there too. So, no, you know, I think, you know, when a kid gets in a new atmosphere and he has big expectations and maybe doesn't have success right away, it's hard. It's a hard game. And, you know, this day and age for these kids with social media and ESPN Plus and all this stuff, it's hard. And you got to be really mentally strong. And it's really hard when you doubt yourself and maybe you hear some negative stuff about you too. It's not easy. So you got to block that stuff out and just go play the game. And I do think Caleb's in a really good place mentally. You know, I think he's in a place where, you know, we had a long talk the other day in the airport of, you know, this is my last season, and, you know, I got to I'm not enjoying it. I got to go have fun playing baseball because this is it. I think he's, you know, very mature for his age and to think that way. And, yeah, I was dying for him to get a knock there in the ninth and have a little success. I think, you know, it's a hit or two away from possibly, you know, starting a streak and, you know, get him going, get a little confidence in his head and get rolling.
Yeah, I know one of my colleagues and I, Glenn Dyer, you know, we were talking about him just feeling bad. I mean, it's his senior season. He's had great success everywhere, every year, you know.
He got really frustrated last
night. Right, yeah. I didn't know if you were able to put your finger on it or not.
All right, one last question, and you answered this off air, but I want our listeners to hear it. I've been bugged all year long as to why the former shortstop here and longtime coach for years wore number 17, and now all of a sudden you've got this weird number on the back of your jersey. What is that about, Coach?
Yeah, well, doing some recruiting this summer, and you know, Kyle Morrison was obviously getting courted by a lot of schools, and he was about to get on a plane to the Cape Cod League the next day, and he asked me if he committed, could he wear 17? And I said, if you commit before you go on that plane to the Cape, I'll give you 17. And he called me the next morning on his way to the airport and committed. So I think it was a good trade.
All right, yes. This is a one-year trade, right? We're gonna approve this based on the way he's hit, if this is just 1 year. Is that correct, right?
Yeah, one-year trade, that's right.
All right. Hey, Coach, we always enjoy our talks with you. We missed you last week. Glad to have you back on the show this week, and look forward to our conversation next week.
All right, thank you.
I'm sure he didn't miss us, Bob.
I don't think he did. I don't think anybody misses us much anymore. Do you think coaches, after a while, think, "Oh God"?
Oh, they definitely do.
We got to talk to these media guys.
They definitely
again.
Do. Yeah, they do. I get it. I mean, you know, they do. They're sitting there eating lunch at, you know, Movie Star, one of our new sponsors, right. And they're thinking, "Oh my gosh, it's almost 1:00."
God, it's 1:00. Today's the day I have to deal with them. I've never detected that in any coach. Have you?
Well, one particular coach definitely not, because he would text us saying, "Am I coming on today at 1:00?"
Yeah, he would actually call us, but it wasn't even his season, right. And ask, "Could I come on today?"
Yes, he did.
We'll be seeing him in New Orleans next year, right?
Won't we be seeing him?
Yeah. All right, what do they got to do to go down there? And they really need to – but this would be a tall order to go to Lafayette and sweep the series. It sure would be good. But you got to go focused on winning it. And what do you have to do to beat Louisiana 2 times on their home field, Damon?
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts with exactly what Travis Creel said. When I've looked at Louisiana stats, kind of preparing for my pregame show and story before this weekend, their 3 rotation starters – have great numbers. I mean, all sub 350 ERA, 2 lefties, good numbers, but they throw a lot of innings. I mean, I'm talking, and he kind of said it like, these guys get in their 110, 115 pitches, and then, you know, they get out. They don't pull them. So, I mean, you really want to try to extend at bats, get into that bullpen. They have maybe about 1 or 2 arms that have good numbers, but other than that, their bullpen has not been good, and that's kind of been the reason they've lost some games. On the other side, their offense is statistically one of the worst in the Sun Belt. And so, you know, theoretically, you would feel pretty good about that matchup because you have one of the best pitching staffs in the Sun Belt. And, you know, Louisiana right now, 247 overall batting average. That ranks last in the league. They rank second to last in home runs. They rank around 10th in doubles. So this just isn't really an overwhelmingly good offensive team like Southern Miss has been seeing over the past couple of weeks. So you hope that your pitching staff can kind of elevate this team to win some close games. Now, I think that these aren't going to be, you know, 10-7 games. I think Southern Miss is going to have to win, you know, 5-2, 5-3. But statistically speaking, Southern Miss's strength is their pitching staff against Louisiana's weakness, which is their hitting. If you go on statistics, Southern Miss should be favored to sweep, I would think.
Yeah. We'll have Jay Walker on the show tomorrow. He is the play-by-play voice of Louisiana. So we'll get the insight from Jay about what's on that team. Here's a couple things, points about last night, Dima, that I don't know how much attention it got, but I thought there were two really important coaching moves. I thought that bringing Cross Sibley in to wash out that bad performance over the weekend, and he had a solid inning. And then particularly to bring Colby Allen in, who pitched three just knockout innings. And I thought that was really important because, you know, those two young men did not want to sit on the performances from last weekend all week long, right?
No doubt. It was really good to see Colby coming in. Three innings pitched, two hits, three strikeouts, couple walks. You know, all throughout the whole night, you know, like Travis said, nine walks over the night. But again, you stranded 15, so you feel pretty good about that. But, you know, you don't want to get into that traffic this weekend in Louisiana. But you're right, where it was good to see Colby and Cross come in. I thought it was good to see Josh Ott come in, too. He pitched an inning and a third and two-thirds, three strikeouts and a couple walks, but no runs, no hits. So you want to see that. Those are the guys that you need to be as good as they've been because they've kind of, you know, faltered a little bit over the past couple weeks. You want to see those guys continue to be good and then still get your innings from the Bruce Littletons, the J.W. Armisteads that you also saw last night. So, and I thought it was really important that they were able to save Camden Clark because he was over there warming up. If that would have gone into extras, it would have gone to him. And I think that's important to, you know, get him just a couple days off and have him fresh and ready to go for this weekend.
Yeah, but you need Colby Allen and Cross Sibley. You got to have
and
them.
Josh Ock.
And Josh Ock. You got to have those three guys down the stretch if you want to accomplish what it is you want to accomplish.
Correct, because right now the rotation is just a question mark.
Well, that's for sure. Hey, couple of good top 20 wins for the league last night. We'll talk about that as the show rolls along. Some other good stuff. As we head to the break, I want to remind you about our friends at MCS Home Center. Saw the Hank Lott and his family at the ball game last night. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction. They've got it all at the MCS Home Center. What a beautiful store. And if you're like my wife and you just love flowers and plants, great nursery with big, healthy, beautiful plants now available at MCS Home Center as well. Made a mistake of taking her out there last week and came home with a truck full of plants. You can do the same thing. They are really healthy and pretty. MCS Home Center out on Highway 98 West, 7329. Beautiful building. Go see them. Tell them their friends at the Eagle Hour said hello. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I want to thank our good friends out at DBAT for their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. They're on Hardy Street, as you hear every day. State-of-the-art facility out there. If you got some kids getting ready for baseball this summer, it'd be a great place to take them. Batting cages, trainers, pro shop, full array of stuff for baseball and softball. It's kind of like baseball and softball Christmas location 12 months out of the year. DBAT, excuse me, on Hardy Street. And while you're on Hardy Street, I'd suggest some hot beignets from Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. They'll show you what the topping of the month is, and the beignets are always delicious and cooked to order. I want to plug the Legends podcast that I do every week, and my man here, Dima, produces for me. releasing a great episode tomorrow, I think, with Jeff Bauer, legendary football coach, obviously, at Southern Miss. We talk about Jeff's days back in Georgia, the heyday that he engineered at Southern Miss, and his unexpected departure. Going to be some real frank discussion from Jeff Bauer about what happened and how he felt about his shocking departure, I think 19 years ago this year, from Southern Miss football. So that will be available on Apple and Spotify starting tomorrow, thanks to Mr. Mixon here. All right, Dima, good night really for the Sun Belt in baseball midweek, huh?
It was. I think the overall went 10-1 within the league. Arkansas over Memphis, Southern Miss over New Orleans. Texas State takes the game against Texas A&M. ULM over Mississippi Valley State. Appalachian State over UNC Asheville. James Madison beats Virginia on the road.
That's pretty impressive. There, yeah.
Coastal beats Wake Forest in a neutral site game, I believe. And then Old Dominion beat up William & Mary. And then the lone loss of the night was Wofford beating Georgia State. So, overall, pretty nice night for the league. Interesting series this weekend within the Sun Belt. Louisiana Monroe is headed north to play App State, which should be an interesting series. The series I think Southern Miss fans are going to have their eyes on outside of Southern Miss and Louisiana is Coastal Carolina, who's right now, you know, just running away with the regular season title. At Arkansas State. Now, Arkansas State's kind of fallen off a little bit from where they were when Southern Miss played them a couple weeks ago. But, you know, they're still 20-12. You know, they still have a really good baseball team. You know, obviously three lefty arms. Southern Miss kind of went over there, and it felt like Arkansas State Super Bowl. I assume something similar to that would happen. So if there's any ground to be made up, hopefully for Southern Miss, Coastal might drop a game or two over there at Arkansas State, and Southern Miss would work to win some games in Louisiana this week. Troy on the road at Texas State, which should be an interesting series. South Alabama on the road at Georgia Southern. Old Dominion at Marshall. And like we all know that Southern Miss is at Louisiana. So interesting series overall in the Sun Belt this week.
Well, South Al gave Coastal their first conference loss last weekend, actually 10 run to one game, which is kind of hard to explain, but overall, man, I'm going to tell you, you have to admire the Coastal program. They lost their two big studs. That would have left a lot of baseball teams standing in its tracks, but Coastal, Dima just doesn't do anything but win, man. They just win.
Oh, they got a great coach. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And he's obviously on the hot board for the South Carolina job. He's on the hot board in this job and that job. Obviously, Tennessee tried to get him. So when a program like Tennessee is trying to come get your coach, I mean, you know that he's a good coach and they got a great roster. And like you said, they've actually pitched pretty well without those two guys. And as we heard from Mark Etheridge the other day, they're probably starting to come back. And then, you talk about adding even more depth into that pitching staff. So, this is a team that was the national runner-up last season. So the lineup already has experience. So, yeah, they seem to be the team to beat in the Sun Belt right now. And while we all thought that was going to be Southern Miss, it just hasn't been so far. And Coastal Carolina, has a three-game lead behind second place and a four-game lead over Southern Miss. So, like I said, there's still a lot of conference games to play, but you just hope that Southern Miss at least has a chance to challenge for the regular season title.
I'm going to press your expertise here. Coastal, you're right, national runner-up. The defending national champion got beat last night by Bethune-Cookman of the SWAC Conference. LSU, Dima, has suffered some shocking losses.
They really have. Like you said, Bethune-Cookman, they dropped a game to McNeese earlier this season. They dropped a game to Northeastern earlier this season. Louisiana, who the team that Southern Miss is playing, beat them pretty well, 7-2. They lost a series to Sacramento State, and so they've had some just, puzzling losses. You talk about Southern Miss going through a slump. How would you like to be an LSU fan right now? Mm-hmm. But, so I thought they looked better against Tennessee this weekend. They won the series up there in Knoxville, and they had just won the series at Kentucky the week before that. And then, you just lose a unexplainable game. They'll be up in Oxford this week to play the Rebels before Southern Miss gets the Rebels next Tuesday. But right now, Bob, you know, they're sitting 75 RPI. I mean, that's insanely
low.
They
gave up 10 runs last night to a SWAC team. With all due respect to the SWAC, you're not supposed to go to LSU's home field and score 10 runs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, credit to Bethune-Cookman. And they are a decent team. They're 23-9. But yeah. But you're right. I mean, the talent gap is exponential. So, you know, I don't know. It's you can't explain it. That's just kind of sometimes you just throw up your hands. You know, sometimes, and we're seeing it a little bit. I think the sport itself is flattening out. Last year in the tournament, you saw a lot of four seeds, you know, beat those one seeds in regionals. Mm-hmm. It happened here in Hattiesburg when Columbia beat Southern Miss. So, you know, I think the sport is kind of flattening out a little bit. And that's one great
thing.
Isn't
that a good thing?
That's what I'm saying. It's one good thing about college baseball is, you know, the top 10 right now, I think, are all pretty even. Yeah. You know, I mean, UCLA seems to be the far and away best team, and it's not even really close with them. But outside of them, I mean, everybody else from about 2 on to 30, I mean, any one of them could beat each other on any given day, and that's great for the sport.
Yeah. You think the Sun Belt is a three-team regional league?
We'll see. I mean, it kind of just depends on what Texas State does. I think Troy's out. I mean, they got to really.
I think Troy's out. Yeah.
They got to really turn it around. They're at 69 RPI. They're still below 500. So you know, honestly, Bob, it might be coming down to Texas State or Arkansas State. You know, getting one of those last bids.
Yeah.
And you know, Southern Miss, of course, and Coastal are both pretty much safely in right now, and Texas State and Arkansas State are really your only other two teams that could even, you know, apply for it. You know, the Arkansas State with a 53 RPI. You can look at ULM with a 19-15 record, but the RPI is 141st, and you know, that's not going to get them anywhere close. South Alabama 19-13, but they're 6-6 in league, and 67 RPI. That's not going to get you anywhere close. So really, I mean, your three teams right now that feel like safe bets would be Coastal, Texas State, and Southern Miss. But do we really trust Texas State to continue to win like they have been doing?
And how big does that looming home series look next week with Texas State? Right now, it looks pretty big.
No, it really does. I mean, let's just say you get 2 out of 3 against Louisiana, and Texas State takes 2 out of 3 next week, this week for whoever they play. You come in next week with a chance to really put yourself in a position to pretty much secure the 2 seed with wins against Texas State. And Texas State would feel the same. You know, you're behind them 1 game. You need to make up 2 games on them. And having those head-to-head wins, of course, would be huge.
Well, and why that number 2 seed is significant, it gives you the opening round bye in the conference tournament. You really don't want to start playing day one in the tournament.
Yes. Well, you get the team that's already played. That's how it works.
Correct.
So you won't see the ace of whoever you're playing.
That's right. And then that's a day less we have to stay in Montgomery.
Well, yeah.
You're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Not really.
Just a tourism destination.
They do have a good golf course.
Yeah, have you played golf there?
Yeah, I have.
A couple of good restaurants. Yeah. There's a pretty good restaurant.
I'm sure Jack will remind me about what's the museum there,
The Jimmy Rogers Museum.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No. The Hank Williams Museum. That's right. You didn't really know who Hank Williams was.
I did not. And Jack just about fell out of his headset.
He got up and left, remember?
Yeah, I'm sure.
He threw the headsets down and said, I refuse to participate anymore in this program.
That's correct.
Oh, man. Disappointment of the year, though, in the Sun Belt has got to be Troy.
Oh, I mean, it's not even a question. I mean, this is a team that was picked third in the league, and you know the preseason player of the year is on their team as first base, Blake Cavill, and he's just been not good. You know, like we said, they're 2 games below 500 right now. I mean, it's inexplainable for them, really.
And they're talented. When they played here, I thought they were as talented as any team I had seen play here.
Arguably could have won that series.
I think they're very good.
Yeah.
Hey, one last question. I don't know if you notice this, but did you notice the almost little brush up last night when the first baseman for UNO got pegged with a pitch? He didn't like that much, did he?
Yeah, that was very strange. I was just, you know, anytime that happens, I'm just like, dude, just take your base.
Yeah,
like,
the last thing in the world a freshman pitcher wants to do when he comes in a game is peg the first batter. I mean, get over yourself.
Just so dumb.
And the freshman didn't do anything but just stand there and look at him. So,
yeah, what can you do?
And then I noticed he got to first base and he was yaw-yawing at the bull a little bit, and bull seemed to just ignore him as well. So
I always wonder what they're talking about, you know, on those base paths. They have a lot of conversations. I also always wonder what Oz goes out there and tells the pitchers when he talks to him. Because, you know, you notice when he pulls pitchers, he doesn't say a word. He just has his hand out, reaches for the baseball.
Real friendly to him.
He just hand out, put the baseball in my hand. But when he's out there talking to him, you know, yeah. I wonder if he says, you know, you ever been to Eagle Tire West?
Probably not. And I've noticed, too, like you say, when he pulls them, he doesn't say anything, and they sure don't say anything to him, do they?
Just hand on the baseball.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg say hello, invite you to come down and check out their beautiful array of Genesis sedans and SUVs. They're all located at the exclusive Genesis dealership, only one in Mississippi, located on Highway 98 West, and we certainly appreciate them. I'm going to say hello to our friends Justin Harris, too, at Dickie's Barbecue and Fuzzy's Tacos, two great places to enjoy lunch. Catch a Southern Miss ball game, particularly at Fuzzy's. I'm sure all the games are on TV down there. What a great location in Midtown. Certainly appreciate the friendship that Justin has shown the show for, well, since its beginning. Hey, don't forget about our podcast. If you don't catch us live, you can always find us on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. All right, we've talked a lot about it. The demo will have some softball interviews the rest of the week, but the softball team doing very well, and they're back in action tonight.
They are, and they have a really tough game tonight against Southeastern Louisiana, which, you know, you'll hear Southeastern Louisiana and probably think immediately to baseball. But, Bob, the Southeastern Louisiana softball team is very good. They're 33-9 overall, 15-0 in the Southland Conference. This is the second matchup this season. They played earlier this year with Southeastern beating Southern Miss 11-3 in six innings. So Southern Miss will have their work cut out for them tonight, but you're right, they're having just a phenomenal season, 27-15 overall, 8-4 in conference, which is second in the Sun Belt Conference. And they host another series this weekend at home. They're going to play Georgia Southern this weekend at home before taking the road to Texas State next week, and then play Ole Miss on the road, and then South Alabama and ULM, and then it's tournament time. They play their tournament May 5th through the 9th, so they are very close to their tournament, and that game, those tournament games will be down in Lafayette, Louisiana. So, yeah. I mean, just again, just so incredible what Natalie Poole has done with this softball program this season. I mean, this is one of the youngest teams she's ever had, and this is the most wins she's had in her tenure here. So,
yeah.
Props to them, but a big test tonight at home.
Yeah, I'd like to find out how they're going to get to Texas State. That's on the other end of the globe. Yeah. So surely they're flying those kids out.
Yeah,
there.
I won't be too disappointed next year when we don't have to think about Texas State anymore.
No, I never have really thought that Texas State brought a whole lot to the Sun Belt myself. And it's just not geographically, you know, it's the adopted stepsister. You
right,
know?
It's the oddball for sure.
Yeah, no question about that. So softball tonight be a good night to go out and support those ladies. They have played really, really hard, and it would be a great night to go out and support them, I would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no doubt. If you're able to get out there, for sure, get out there and support them. And like I said, really good team they're playing tonight. You know, I said, you normally hear Southeastern Louisiana, and you're probably thinking baseball terms, but yeah, that's a really impressive record, 33-9, 15-0. So,
all right, so it's Wednesday night. They won't leave for Lafayette, I guess, until tomorrow. So I would bet that Cross Sibley can get out there tonight and watch his wife, who plays center field, play softball. And he told me last time I was visiting with them at baseball practice, that they rarely get to watch each other play because they're always playing at the same time. But tonight, that'd be kind of a unique situation, I would think.
No doubt. I mean, it's really great, I'm sure, for them to be able to do that. So some other Southern Miss news, Tyler Nichols was awarded the Sun Belt Men's Field Athlete of the Week. He set the standard in the long jump event with a mark of 8.06 meters. That ranks first in the NCAA Division I rankings. So congratulations to Tyler Nichols for getting named that honor. Other than that, you know, kind of rolling along, and Masters start tomorrow.
All right, so, so I think I've heard that. So Jay Walker is going to be on the show tomorrow. He's the longtime play-by-play voice of Louisiana and just a great, great guy. Also, we're going to hear from Hannah Christian tomorrow, who I think has played a big role in softball, right, Damon?
Yes, no doubt. She's been incredible for them, and I don't have her stats in front of me, but, you know, coming into the year, she was, you know, one of their best bats that was coming back, and she's just been incredible. As I pull up her stats here, I'm trying to on the fly. Yeah, so she's batting a .424, which is awesome.
That's pretty good.
Four home runs, 37 RBIs, a .590 slug. That's pretty good.
That'd be a great interview. We look forward to that. All right, now a minute left. I'm trying to understand this, Dima, and it was brought to my attention again last night by a friend at baseball, and I laughed and said, I've been hearing this from Dima all week. This is like a big week to you golf guys, right? And you're going to be glued to the TV for 4 days. Is that correct?
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah, it's the biggest week in golf. I mean, the tradition is like any other. I mean, you only play that course one time a year. You only see that course one time a year. It's a beautiful course. The history there. I mean, it gives me chills every time I think about it.
Have you ever played on that course?
No, Bob, and only special people can play on that
course.
I think
that's a pretty exclusive club to belong to all year round, is it not?
Yes, you have to be invited, and I mean, I'm sure that I don't even think President Trump has probably ever played that course.
So have you got a favorite? Have you got a golfer you're going to be pulling for to win the Masters?
You know, I really want Justin Rose to win. You know, he came up second last year. He's come up second in a couple times. I know he's a little bit older, but I think it'd be cool to see him win. I think it'd be cool to see Rory McIlroy do well defending his title. J.J. Spahn, you know, he had a nice win last week in the Texas Open, so we'll see. Yeah.
So you don't want me bothering you all weekend, is that what I'm hearing?
Baseball on one screen, Masters on the other.
All right, back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Softball, baseball going to be on the agenda. We sure appreciate you listening every day, everybody. We really do. Thank you. Southern Miss to the top. Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.